on October 1st, 2020. Can we have the roll call?
Ron Moosman.
Here.
Tim Oberbrockley. Diana Pagan.
Present.
Sandra Smith.
Here.
I'm here, but quiet.
Gerard Estella.
Here.
Abby Huff.
Present.
Jennifer Cunningham. Arthur Kim. Ryan Russell. All right.
Has everybody had a chance to review both of the minutes from the last meeting and the prior? Does anybody have any changes from?
Motion to approve the minutes from the last two meetings.
Is there a second?
I second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Action item 3A, certificate appropriateness for 1534 Second Avenue Southeast roof issue.
Okay, I'm going to be pulling up presentation.
And Adam, did you say we have somebody online?
Let me check to see if they, yes. Sorry, let me stop doing this so I can let her introduce herself.
Okay. I'm her husband.
So we should have Ashley. Are you? Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna mute you. And Kate, can you hear us? Okay, so I have to apologize for this. I'm getting a message that Kate is using an older version of Zoom, and I would need to promote her to a panelist, so bear with me here. Kate, can you hear us? Okay.
All good. Thank you.
Okay, and so Kate is here for item 3A2. And Ash, I guess it's Slayton, sorry. Slayton is here for 3A1. Okay, can everyone see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, just a reminder for everyone to mute themselves if they're not talking, to cut back on noise. For Slayton and Kate, and I think more for Slayton, you can raise your hand via the your computer or press 9 on your cell phone. After the presentation, I will kick it over to the chair, who will then ask for comments from you. So that will be after the presentation. So 1534 Second Avenue, here's an aerial showing where this is located, about a block north of Redmond Park. Here's some images of the house. So the house was built in 1900. Again, it's part of the 2nd and 3rd Avenue Historic District. It contributes to the district, but is not individually eligible. So the applicant was in the process of installing a metal roof. over the existing asphalt roof. This was damaged during an August 10th storm. Work was done without a permit. It was brought to the city's attention and a stop work order was issued. This is just an example of what that metal roof would look like. Defining features of the house, side gable roof, fish scaled gable dormers, decorative barge board, hip roof entrance, hood below gable wall dormer with bracket supports, 1/1 double hung windows, stained glass window beneath entrance hood, cottage window group with 6/6 windows flanking 1/1 sash. And so the guidelines, let me zoom in a bit here, but for metal roofs, they are not allowed unless that was the original roof. And so in order to really, we would need some sort of either photo documentation or written documentation that says the original roof was metal. Otherwise that would not be considered appropriate by the guidelines. And so because of that, staff is recommending denying the certificate of appropriateness to install the metal roof. And that is presentation. I will stop sharing here and hand it off to the chair.
Yes. Does the applicants have anything they would like to offer that hasn't already been offered, and does any of the commissioners have questions of the applicant on this?
I can speak.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
All right. So first of all, the reason the roof was being installed was we did not know it was in historic preservation district, and we hired Dutch Brother Constructions to put a metal roof on it because in our experience, we find that these metal roofs, when we put them on these homes, and again, we have three of these buildings, one's in Lisbon, two in Cedar Rapids, and then our own homes in Mount Vernon, which is on the historical preservation listing now, that these metal roofs protect the home much better, they last much longer, and the city has already determined, I believe, this house to be obsolete for its purpose because it's an apartment building. It's also it's a contributing structure. It's not one of the major structures that was listed out in the original application when we went back and looked at the original application. The only reason this wasn't discovered until after the roof was already in place of being put on was that Dutch Brothers did not seek out the permit like we believe they were going to be, and they thought that we were going to do it, and our response was you're the construction person. So we were sort of shocked to find that Dutch Brothers themselves did not get the permit, basically. This is not being put on this is being put on because the roof was ripped off due to the derecho. The longer the roof remains off this house, the greater the risk of damage to this house. Dutch Brothers has agreed to come out and put this roof on and finish putting the roof on without any delay. If Dutch Brothers is not allowed to come back on, we do not know when a roof we put on this house. This is a issue of, I understand the rules say we can't have a metal roof now. Did not understand that when we contracted for a metal roof, and we contract for these metal roofs because for the increase, they're more expensive than an asphalt roof. And one of the things we try to do is save these buildings. And we believe that the metal roofs with their longer life cycle, the fact that the asphalt shingles did not exist when this house was built. House was built before around 1900. Asphalt shingles did not come into use until 1910. The problem is all the previous roof structures have been taken off the roof. So therefore we have no idea what the original roof was. No one has a clue, to be honest. We don't know whether it was a metal roof originally. We don't know whether it was wooden shingles originally. I'm asking for a deviation from the standard policies because of A, the natural disaster that struck Cedar Rapids. B, to be blunt, Dutch Brothers' mistake. And C, the current material is not, or the current asphalt shingles is not a historical material itself. And D, the house on one side has vinyl siding, and the house on the other one is a 1970s office building and parking lot. So by not putting the metal, by not allowing the metal roof to go on, we are continuing a potential, I mean, we are really worried that the house is deteriorating without a roof on it. We can't, we don't know when we can go get an asphalt roofer on this roof. We waited a month and a half for Dutch Brothers to show up to put the roof on. I just asked to take you to take those things into consideration and, you know, and consider that the roof will save the house much longer than hoping, because there's a house across the street that the city demolished because no one took care of it. We're trying to take care of this house. And okay, that's all I have to say.
So wait, Adam, can you clarify for me, when was this work started for this roof?
So we were notified, I think 2 weeks ago, maybe, that there was work being, that a roof was being, a metal roof was being installed. And so that's when building services went out and issued a stop work order.
I think about 6 hours after they began.
One of the things I would like to say at this point, I think most of the, when the homes were added into the local historic districts, they were kind of frozen in time as to the changes that were already on the houses at that point in time. And so that would negate that there would have been wood shingles on that house beforehand. Asphalt would have been the common thing back in the 90s. Another question of you, Mr. Anthony, is when did you purchase that house in the historic district?
2016, if my memory serves me correctly.
You know, as far as the city goes and the commission goes, we put out information to the historic district, both the owners and the inhabitants, on a regular basis. And so it's kind of surprising to me that you weren't aware that you were in historic district.
We literally had no idea until we got a phone call from Dutch Brothers.
But another thing that we have to deal with on the commission in respect to the historic districts is that we don't want to allow changes that set a precedent so that everybody that has an asphalt roof now wants a metal roof. That happened. I mean, sometimes things get by and people and neighbors see that and then they want to do that. But that's one of the things we are very strict on, maintaining the integrity of the historic districts.
But when you say maintain the historic integrity of the historic district, and we're putting a roof that would have been of a type that would have been, that potentially could, that was used during that time frame, though admittedly we don't have any evidence that was used on this house, it does appear that it's an aesthetic, not a historical concern. It does appear that it is, we just don't like the look of a metal roof. We like the look of a shingle, an asphalt shingle roof. And I'm not even going to get into the issue that we have of, you know, the shingles having to be replaced so often and ending up in landfills and all that kind of stuff in that. But what I'm getting at is these metal roofs are good for the buildings. They are good for the historical lives of the buildings. We should be recommending that people move to these historical roofs and not making an aesthetic decision regarding shingles, especially asphalt shingles. Now I'm making a much larger argument now beyond my house alone, and I fully recognize that. And I used to be a city councilor in Mount Vernon. I believe in historic preservation, and I believe in all this. I'm struggling to understand why the metal roof is so antagonistic to the historic preservation.
Ron, can we go, and Adam, can we go into committee discussion at this point and mute the applicant?
Sorry, Mr. Anthony, I'm gonna go ahead and mute you for just a minute here. Okay.
Okay, so we know that this is a contributing structure to the district. We know that it's a contributing structure because of its roof lines and how its roof is. I do not see why we would approve a metal roof.
I'm also in agreement. However, I do know that it does put a safety problem because if his roof is open, I'm concerned about that.
I don't
want to approve that roof, but I am concerned about that.
When I drove by the house on yesterday, at least the area of the roof that I could see from driving by on Second Avenue, I didn't see any shingles missing. So I don't know where the opening is that he's having. I could have been from the alley side and I didn't drive down there, but.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, difficult because, you know, we're all going through these difficult times, whether it be our own roofs or neighbors or, you know, helping out in the community, but that's really not a reason to, you know, allow a material to go on somebody's roof. You know, we wouldn't approve it. I mean, disaster or not, we probably wouldn't be, you know, approving even if there wasn't a disaster, so.
Well, and I also want to say that, you know, our design guidelines that were updated in 2018, you know, are based on the national's guidelines. And so the national doesn't allow the metal roofs to replace asphalt roofs and so forth. So, I understand the arguments he's trying to make, but I think he's just trying to get around it and to play on our sympathies. And I just don't see that we want to have a precedent like that.
Yeah. I totally agree. And with Sandra's comment, I mean, I have a neighbor across the street who has a hole in their roof and are still waiting. We're all waiting. I'm waiting. We're in a disaster, but this is a home in a historical district and we need to treat it like a home in a historical district.
Okay, so just from the new guy's perspective a little bit here, the reality is that the guidelines would be telling us, regardless of, if I understand everything, regardless of the situation of the derecho, the guidelines would say we wouldn't put a metal roof there. So I can appreciate where the applicant is in an emotional state. I can appreciate where everybody's at, but we'd be changing a guideline perspective, in my opinion. I think we have to go with the fact that it's not something that we would have allowed. It's something we don't allow. To be honest, that's
agree.
Taking the emotional content out of it.
Agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So are we okay? Can I make a motion? Okay. I make a motion that we deny the COA for what was the address?
1534 Second Avenue Southeast. 1534
Second Avenue Southeast.
Before you do anything else, I do want y'all to understand that there is some, you were talking about what you couldn't see. What you can't see is some rubberized roofing that's on there that's been peeled off. And that may not make you concerned, but that's not asphalt, that's not metal, that's rubberized roof. And that's problematic roof on the flat part of the house. And we were going to solve that problem with this roofing. And now we're going to go back to that same rubberized roofing that causes leaks and all kinds of problems. So I didn't realize that that's until you said that, but just know that's the issue.
I do appreciate that, Anthony, Mr. Slayton. I have a rubber roof on the back of my house, and I'm also in the historic district, the Redmond Grand Historic District. And when I first bought the house, it leaked and I replaced it like for like. And it's leaking again, but I'm still going to replace it like for like, although it's very annoying. And so I understand and I appreciate how you feel about that. And I'm very sorry.
All right, I made a motion.
Is there a second to the motion?
I second the motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Mr. Anthony, if you can hear me, we will reach out to you tomorrow just to, well, commission, we will reach out to the applicant tomorrow and let him know what his next steps are. Just as a reminder, if the commission denies something like this, the applicant does have 10, I don't know if it's business days or calendar days, but they have 10 days to submit a request to the city clerk to have city council make a decision. So we will make sure that we let him, that he's aware of that. We'll also make sure that our building services department knows that this was denied.
I mean, if he can do his research and he can find pictures of the original house, then you know, we have more information to talk about. But if he doesn't have a picture, you know, it could have had clay or slate or, you know, wood shingles on the roof and not metal or, you know, obviously not asphalt, but.
Adam, can either you or Jeff verify that in the last mailing, or if you have a mailing address for historic districts, that Mr. Anthony is listed and with his current address? Because I take him at his word that he didn't know he was in the historic district, but I kind of find it hard to believe that we do send mailings out all the time.
Well, and all the street signs are brown and say historic district.
Yeah. So.
Yes, we will definitely do that.
No, it's certainly if he appeals it to the council, but you know, those would be things that we would want to impress upon them.
I'll also say too, just because it seems timely, we have been talking to the Cedar Rapids Area Association of Realtors to, in terms of making sure that, their people have information on where the districts are and what that may mean. So, we're trying to find ways beyond that mailer to inform people. So just wanted to add that.
Is for point of clarification, when you do buy a house, you go through a huge checkoff list of things, inspections and all that sort of stuff. Is that something that could be added to the I don't know who comes up with those forms and all those
right.
questions, but that would be a good place to have that, you know, where they would have to check off that they knew they lived in a historic district.
Right. Yep. No, that would, we can check on that. We also, I think maybe a year or two ago, we worked with the city assessor. So if you go to the assessor's page on, if you pull up the summary off to the left, you'll see, you know, the general information, GPN, owner information. Towards the bottom, you will see homestead, and you will also see a sign or an area that says in a local historic district or landmark. And so they have those checked off with a yes or no, depending on where it's located. So,
okay. So we want to go on to action item 3A2, 337 18th Street Southeast, new shed. And the applicant is with us.
Yes. So go ahead and I will kick this off to Jeff.
So to start, we have an aerial here of the property just north of Johnson Academy and east of Redmond Park. Some views from the street. There we go. And the photo on the left is the side where the shed is going in. I don't know what type of bush that is, but believe to the back corner of that side. And then a brief overview of the project description and the home. It was built in 1910 in the Redmond Park Grand Avenue Historic District. The home contributes to the district and is individually eligible. The applicant would like to replace a metal shed with a wooden shed, and it has asphalt shingles. In the next slide, hold up, don't go there, Adam. there is one window. The applicant did notify me that they have a preference for a vinyl window, but are open to a wood window. Other repairs are being covered by CNMEs for this project, re-roofing, repairing some softened fascia and gutters, and exterior light features on the home. Next slide. So here's a sketchup of the shed, showing the dimensions and then the placement on the parcel. So in that back corner, furthest away from both streets, in interior corner of the lot. And the defining features, I'll let you read through this, but the shed was not a defining feature, is I think the most pertinent to this action item. Next slide. And the design guidelines. The applicant is adhering to the design guidelines by matching materials of the primary structure, having it in a smaller and appropriate size, and the placement being furthest away from a visible street. Next slide. And so with that, the staff recommends approving the COA for the new shed because the applicant is replacing with wood and asphalt shingles that match the primary structure, and the size and placement of the shed also adhere to the design guidelines. With that, I'll kick it back to the chair.
Does the applicant have anything she would like to add at this point?
I don't believe so. I think that covered most of what I had.
Do any of the commissioners have questions of the applicant?
Is this shed going in the same place as the current one?
So the current slash previous, it's been destroyed.
Oh.
Was actually up against the back of the house, like, and anchored onto the house fairly poorly. The previous owners had kind of put it in. So I was hoping to add a freestanding one just because it seemed a little safer.
Go ahead, Diana.
Staff, is there anything prohibiting us, anybody from moving the shed location? Are there any rules that, I didn't see any, so.
So the only thing would be there is some recommendation toward about placement. And so let me bring that up again. So if I can do this. So if you look at the second bullet item, so the secondary structure should be subordinate in height to primary structure. So that's part of it. And then also, I think it's the fifth bullet there, locating a secondary structure to the side of the primary structure, but setback significantly. And then the one before that to the rear of the lot. So really the guidelines just talk about where it is on the lot in relationship to the primary structure.
So if I read it correctly, her moving it is not violating any of these, if I understand the guidelines.
That is correct.
Yeah, I almost think how she described the original structure, that moving this structure away is actually better for the primary structure.
Yeah, I would agree. The way that I read it and the way that I that you just went through the guidelines, it seems like it fits the guidelines better, being separated and being in that back area, as well as being lower and away from the front plane.
Yes, I agree too. And it appears, I think she said it was aluminum and this one's wood and asphalt. So I'm also partial to that as well. So I'm partial to everything.
Does anybody else have any questions or do we have a motion?
Motion to approve this accessory structure in the location and design.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Abby.
Abby.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Looks like we have a motion passed.
Okay, Kate, Jeff will get will be in touch with you. What we'll do though is send some information over to our building services department. You'll be copied on that as well. And it's just the sign off that this has been approved. So Jeff will be in touch with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. That's all on our agenda. Are there any announcements or?
Yes, if I could, Gerard and Sandra, if you wouldn't mind filling out, hopefully you received it. There's a financial disclosure form that all our board and commission members need to fill out. If you could fill that out and email it back to me, that would be great. Let me know if you did not receive it and I will resend it.
I believe I did. I'm sorry, Adam.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, I saw it today. I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
If I may, I know I'm going back in time a little bit, but it's just for my own clarification. On that first case that with the metal roof, the gentleman said something about it, because it was an apartment building, it didn't qualify. What was, I'm new to some of the lingo, so I apologize. If somebody could fill me in on what he was actually trying to say, if it meant anything at all.
So what he said, I have heard before, but it has nothing to do with Chapter 18 Historic Preservation at all.
I'm getting a little confused on it. That's why. It's
an assessor's term. You'll see like functionally obsolete. And I honestly do not know what specifically it's talking about, okay. Other than there's some sort of tax relationship, mm-hmm. you know, that it's referring to. But other than that, and we can get you guys an actual answer if you're curious. We can do that.
Like I said, it was one of those things where I went, I'm not tracking it, but I didn't think it was relevant. So
yeah, it kind of caught me off guard too, because I didn't think apartment houses made any difference within the historic district. It's right. The structure in the historic district.
The actual structure.
Yeah, not in the city of Cedar Rapids.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
So if there's not anything else, do we have a motion to adjourn? Jeff, you look like you were going to say something, but.
I was going to add that we were speaking before the meeting started, that we started to receive more and more calls, Adam and I, and so we are planning to hold a meeting next week due to some of the projects coming in, but it seems like they're starting to ramp up.
Yeah, and I have to admit that when I drove through to look at the metal roof place this week, I was kind of surprised at the amount of other damage on other buildings that I saw. So I don't doubt that we'll have more of them.
I will not be able to be in the meeting next Thursday.
Okay.
But if we can get them in and out in about a half an hour on our off weeks, that'll be great too. So did anybody make that motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you again for being flexible with the meeting schedule. We greatly appreciate it. And I think speaking for citizens, they greatly appreciate it too. So thank you and have a good weekend.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Everybody.